a desire for travelers and young entrepreneurs to be able to go to a place and be able to continue their online businesses or their businesses remotely.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Twice a week, we will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder.
Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Joel Schroeder, tuning in today from Boulder, Colorado. We've got a special guest joining us from Montreal, Canada, Gabrielle Bonneville in the house. Gabrielle, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I am ready.
Awesome. So this episode, I'm really excited for. One of the reasons is that what Gabrielle is the founder of is a passion of mine, close to my heart, and also of my family. She is the co-founder of Momentum Collective, a crew of circus artists, yogis, digital nomads, and acrobats from all over the world. Their mission is to create conscious travel experience through their arts so that the crew can get weller, better connected. They've opened up residencies in Guatemala, Nicaragua, Bali, and these residencies are open to travelers, young entrepreneurs, and artists from all walks of life. With that, Gabrielle, welcome to the show. Give us a little bit of context, too, for those that are tuning in that's like, I'm not an acrobat, but how is this going to apply to me? Because I know there's so many crossover themes that I'm excited to explore, and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Into my personal life. Well, I come from a circus family, actually. Growing up, I saw how circus had a powerful influence on like the development and careers and just being able to travel. So when I decided to start my own company, I knew that circus had a lot to teach me. In fact, and it's not about being an acrobat or it's not about being able to do like a triple backflip. But I think circus artists do show us a thing or two on how to travel. And that's where the entire project originated from. It's how to revolutionize the way we travel with purpose. That's where it would be a little bit of a glimpse. And we decided to open up some artist residencies to be able to accommodate that mission.
Yeah. I love that. And we were just talking about before the show, I'm oldest of five girls, and my second youngest sister is actually a circus performer out in Belgium. And I've been a yoga teacher for a while and just love movement. And I think there's been so many co-working, co-living places that have been popping up all over the world for those looking to work remotely. And bringing in the artist, you know, spin into it, I think adds such a unique combination, blending the different industries, you know, like tourism and traveling and being a nomad and all of these other arenas. So I'm excited to explore that a little bit further with you. And give us a glimpse into your community and kind of what, you know, if we were to, you know, pop into Guatemala or Nicaragua, Bali, or one of these residencies, what would it look like to be there? And what's kind of the world of what you're doing in a day in and day out basis?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, you definitely touched on something about a co-thriving place. So we're seeing a lot of a desire for travelers and young entrepreneurs to be able to go to a place and be able to continue their online businesses or their businesses remotely. And so we're seeing like a huge desire to go into co-working spaces. But what we've seen is a challenge for artists that do have businesses of their own to be able to continue training. And that's where we saw the opportunity of being able to merge the two. So like a co-working space with a co-training space. So the idea is that whoever comes to the artist residency may or may not be an artist. But if you are an artist, we highly encourage you to be able to teach some of your art to the residents in-house. So what we've done is that we've created a time frame or a timetable, this sort of schedule every day where the operators of the residency will be teaching meditation and yoga and some kind of aerial art. And depending on the in-house talent, we'll be able to kind of swap over the teacher with the residents and how, so it kind of becomes this organic, the residents become the teachers become the residents, and this beautiful co-training space where you're learning different skills while you're making your own business thrive. So it's been amazing because it also creates a lifestyle that when you're not on a private island in Nicaragua or you're, you know, in a volcanic villa in Guatemala, you're developing a lifestyle that you can keep going with when you go back home. Yeah. So everybody wakes up at 6:30, regardless if you're an artist or a digital nomad, you're waking up at 6:30 and you're meditating and you're noticing like that impact in your life. And it's just beautiful to do that all together. Yeah.
So awesome. What a cool like intersection. And part of why I wanted to have you on the show is, you know, I love exploring unconventional models, especially in, you know, conventional industries. You know, you think about circus or the arts traditionally, and it is, you know, this starving artist kind of conversation, or it's this conversation where, you know, you think like Cirque du Soleil on a high end, or just like this like, you know, with like clowns and other things on the low end. And so it is such a ripe industry. And I haven't heard anyone quite doing it in the way that you're doing it. And, you know, what have you been seeing? I imagine having these artists being able to co-work and co-live really is transforming the conversation of what's possible in terms of bringing their art and creativity into the world in a way that actually supports them, that isn't this, you know, struggling or starting artist conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely touching on something there, because there is a huge gap between street art and artists that work for Cirque du Soleil or the Seven Fingers. So what we try to do is we provide a platform that is accessible to everyone. We do encourage street artists that are, you know, interested in teaching their talent or networking to apply. And in the same space, we're going to have people that are in the Cirque du Soleil, but for example, just did their YTT and want to develop the teaching as a yoga teacher. So you have both of these ends of the spectrum working together and learning from each other, because street artists are usually really good at becoming hyper-sustainable on the road, mm-hmm. whereas professional circus artists or, you know, professional yoga teachers may have some insight on how to brand yourself, make a social enterprise for yourself. So these skills don't go unnoticed, and it's kind of feeding everybody in-house. So the idea is that no matter what end of the spectrum you're at, you're having a purposeful conversation all the time in-house. Yeah.
So cool. I can't wait to share this with my sister after our interview. I feel like her name is Mary Jane. She goes by MJ. I feel like, MJ, you got to check this girl out. So, that's awesome. Well, let's go back a little bit in time. And I imagine if, you know, you look back on your journey to where you are today in this moment, having this conversation, I'm imagining you probably wouldn't have thought you would have ended up here, like with this collective. And so if we go back, like, what would we see if we were a fly on the wall to you growing up, and what was it like then? And give us kind of a glimpse of the evolution of your story.
Oh, geez. What a question. Well, I did the whole conventional story. Went to high school, graduated, went to university, graduated. Then I did a master's in political sciences, got a nice job with the United Nations. And I kind of hit that glass ceiling where I was succeeding in what I had been told was success. So the money, the jobs, the titles and whatnot. But there was something really lacking in my understanding of myself and my purpose, however cliche that may sound. I didn't really understand what my purpose was really in this world. So my twin sister started a circus school here in Montreal, and it was for non-professionals. So we all know Montreal is like the capital hub of circus. That's where the National Circus School is. That's where Cirque du Soleil is. And for the first time, there were non-professionals being able to train. And it really inspired me. And at that point, I decided to dedicate a few years of my life to movement and understanding my mind, actually. And I did my yoga teacher training. And I guess, you know, everything changed from there. I was able to see my own power. I was able to redirect my thoughts into more positive outcomes. And as time went on, I started noticing that, you know, circus is very much on the outside. It's all about the show, the acrobatics, the movement, the body. And in yoga, it's the opposite. It's more like introspection, mindfulness, and in the moment living. So momentum was really created in the idea of merging the two together, how to create more consciousness in your self-expression and how to think outside the box when it comes to mindfulness. And the idea, we didn't really know what it was going to look like in the end, but as we organically let that ripen, it just became this beautiful movement of all walks of arts and yoga together, creating a way of living and a way of training and a way of seeing the world. So I guess that could resume it a little bit.
Yeah, totally. I like what you're touching though on, almost like the duality of this like external expression versus like the internal expression and the merging of those two together. And I imagine like you said, going to college, getting your master's, working this job at the UN, what happened? Like there had to have been a big shift, and I know the yoga teacher training was a part of it, but mentally to actually, you know, make the transition from the 9-to-5 type of job into the entrepreneurial role is something that a lot of our listeners like are challenged with. And I think it starts mentally before it can even start physically. And sometimes the two happen in tandem, but give us a glimpse of what that mental transition was like for you and what resources or practices that you did or that you still do that you feel like for someone in that transition would be really impactful.
Sure. It's definitely mental. But I think how it really started was me starting to question the duality between lifestyle and career. I didn't really understand why after 5, I didn't want to talk about my job anymore, or why I wasn't really thriving in terms of lifestyle in my job. And I started questioning whether it would be possible to create a career that wasn't a job, but so much my life. And I started just asking myself, like, what are my passions? And when I noticed that I didn't really have that many passions, I decided to go and explore more about what I could be passionate about. And once I found that, I decided to think of ways outside the box to be able to create a lifestyle that was my career surrounding my passions. And that's where it really changed everything, because now I don't have it's not about a difference between my life and my job. They're both the same thing, and I'm equally as passionate on both ends. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
So yeah. Yeah.
And what an awesome conversation, and no big deal, like questioning the intersections of lifestyle and career, which in so many ways is what we do with our Unconventional Life 5-Day Accelerators, is exactly that conversation. But it really takes something to look in that. And I find too, a really good place, as you said, is like checking in with your passions, but it is hard, especially if you've kind of dulled down the aliveness or your expression to even feel. And in that result of feeling, to even know like what that is. And so how did you give yourself permission? Was that hard at all or challenging at first to kind of be like, okay, I want to figure out my passions. I'm not totally sure what they are. So let me just try a bunch of random things. Or like, how did that go down?
I remember talking to my family about doing a yoga teacher training and people, and just like not understanding at all what that was. I remember kind of making fun and being like, what do they mean by warrior? Like, what are they trying to do when they say warrior? And just kind of really not getting it. But when I started into my yoga teacher training, I started noticing that the power of yoga is really the power of the mind and power of perspective. So the idea of being really mindful and allowing yourself to let go of what you think you understand, so that you can step outside your comfort zone and see things in a different way. I don't know if that makes any yeah. sense to people that don't do yoga, but I know that for those of us who do it, it's a great tool, because yoga is really just about accessing your mind and the potential within it. So for me, in my personal story, what allowed me to transcend from that kind of dulled existence was unleashing that potential in my mind through yoga. But that's my own story. I know that there's different ways of doing that. My yoga might be somebody else's trapeze, or might be somebody else's burlesque dancing, but it's really about art. I think art is the is one of the ways to go. Like, if you're finding yourself in this gray, dull life existence, just going to look at ways that you can express yourself and observe yourself in the same breath. Do you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Would you say that, do you believe we're all artists or creatives in some capacity? Some of us just don't fully identify with that.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. A lot of people, yeah. A lot of people that come to the artist residencies, we get a lot of applications that are like, well, I'm not a teacher. I'm not an artist. And I'm like, that's fine. Just get over here. And, you know, I don't usually say anything, but within a week of living in an environment where inspiration is the norm and where I guess unconventional living is the norm, you're going to find art, artistic drive that you didn't know that you had. It's just about the environment that you're in. If your environment is a big city with cars and, you know, boxes, then you're not going to be able to find that inspiration that lies within you. It's when you shift that environment. A lot of people get it through traveling, and some people get it through maybe a retreat, and other people come to the artist residencies, you know, or accelerator programs too. They have experts helping them find that inspiration within them. But it's definitely just taking the leap from outside your environment.
Yeah, I love that. No, I myself, you know, the more art that I create, like I just finished an album in Canada over the summer, which was a series of 7 transmission songs, and that'll be out next month. And through my love of yoga and various other things, I find there's so many benefits. Like when I look at my life of like, when is art present and when is it fully alive in my life? Like, what are the results that I'm seeing with like personal satisfaction, results in my business, results in my relationships, versus when that art and creativity isn't as alive for me? And I'm curious, you know, the relationship you see with art and creativity and the benefits you experience in your own life and those that you see around you by having it be more present.
Mm-hmm. I surround myself with a lot of artists and not so much the conventional ones too. You know, like last year we had 17 ballerinas come to the artist residency. We had puppeteers, magicians, like the level of art. I mean, there is not one art form. There's art in everything that you see, really. It's just a matter, again, of perspective. Even the way someone, you know, puts forth their social enterprise or their business might be artistic. It doesn't have to be just vocals or visuals or movement. There's art in everything that is around you. It's just a matter of seeing it.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about Momentum Collective a little bit more specifically, and it's particularly in the early stages of it. You know, when you started to kind of, as you said, connect the dots that we've been exploring so far in this conversation, how did it start to shift into more like foundational business roots, and what was it like in the early days?
Yeah, I mean, we're in our early days, but we're still in our second/third year. And we're going from 1 artist residency to 3. And we're really thinking about opening up another 2 or 3 in Europe and Thailand as of the year after. So the idea is to create a network of artist residencies where people who want to travel consciously can hop from place to place and know that they will be having the same type of experience in terms of lifestyle design, meditation, yoga, aerials, but that they're going to meet different people and artists from all over the world in each residency. So in the early stages, it was just really me and my partners opening or renting out a beautiful place in Nicaragua with more than 1 room and having artist friends say like, hey, do you mind us staying with you? You know, we're just traveling through. We're like, okay, yeah, come on in. And then we'd have like, they'd be like epic fire artists. And we'd be like, hey, how do you do flow arts? And then we'd be like, okay, now we've got 20 people with too much talent. Let's create a schedule, because at this point it's not, you know, we've got too much to learn. Let's make a schedule. And then the more artists came, the more our friends that were free from the 9-to-5 and were able to travel who weren't so much artists, but were entrepreneurs, they came in-house, were like, dude, how did you get your business going? Like, how do you do that? How do you market yourself? How do you? And then we'd have more classes on entrepreneurship. So basically it just became this little tiny festival ground of skill sharing between our friends. And we're like, okay, this is definitely working. Let's open up another one and let's open another one. And now our people that had come the first and second year, they're like, Gab, it's really working in Jamaica. And we've got a lot of tourism there, but everybody's going to hostels and nobody really knows what to do. And they're looking for something more purposeful to do. What if we open up one here? And, you know, we're always going to listen to that, because if it means that we make arts and skills more accessible to travelers, then the idea is to make it worldwide, right? So it's just growing organically from this like tiny idea that we had on renting a mansion on the beach in Nicaragua, really.
So awesome. I love to just really like taking it and staying with it moment by moment in its creation. And I think, you know, I call that process in my own life like rapid visioning, but it's just staying true with like, what does this require in this exact moment? Okay, like you said, we've got a lot of people, we should totally get a schedule. Okay, let's do this. Now entrepreneur friend, okay, let's do that. And so staying in touch in that way, I find gives you so much room and potential to kind of pivot and have that success in that way, which is so awesome. And so for those hearing this, because I know we've got a lot of interest, like, you know, we've been running our Unconventional Life events, and next year we'll be launching 4 different events in Cape Town, South Africa, Kauai, we'll be back in Bali, we'll be in Greece. And it's something, you know, that a lot of people I think are starting to shift more into is more in-person experiences instead of just virtual, which we live in this like online world, but it's lonely. Like, it's like having that human connection that is so, like, you can't replace it online. And so for those that are interested in moving more into the experience model, I'm curious if there's a few best practices or things through the experiences that you've, you know, had so far that you could recommend to getting into live experiences, and just how to do them, you know, in a way that is profitable, in a way that makes impact in the process.
Sure. I mean, I can tell you the way that I travel, for example. When I go somewhere, the first thing I do is I look for the Acro Yoga community. So Acro Yoga is this discipline that is acrobatics between two people. And there's a base and a flyer. And basically, you are communicating into different sequencing and peak poses. But it's not so much about the movement itself. It's about the culture of that community. I mean, if you're going to be doing acrobatics with a complete stranger, you have to have this kind of mental state of mind where you're really open, so open-minded people. And so the first thing that I do to find human connection when I'm traveling is I type in Acro Yoga community, wherever it is that I'm going, and that's the first place that I'll show up to. I'll be able to find initiatives that are more towards the human connection. The other thing is, as a business owner, I find co-working spaces that will allow me to do training, especially aerial training. There's very, very, very few of them, hence why we're kind of thriving in that arena. But I do try to find co-working spaces, because you'll find people more in your level of state of mind, open mind, and that may have some similar visions as you. So yeah, I think co-working spaces, Acro Yoga, and then of course yoga communities in general, like going to a nice yoga studio on the road, you'll probably meet people that are exactly like you, that are interested in conversing and, you know, showing you around. And I think that's a really good way as well. I think those would be my top three in terms of finding human connection. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Such good advice. Last question for you before we move into our rapid fire round, which is one of our last portions of the show, is for the entrepreneurs that are listening. You know, I know we touched on this at the beginning, we touched on it a little bit else, but if there's some message that you would like to share to the entrepreneurs that are hearing this, you know, in incorporating the circus arts and their own inner artist into their life, what message would that be?
That's a good one. For entrepreneurs, I think finding a balance between business and creativity, whether it is to take that time in the morning to meditate when you wake up, and, you know, visualizing a little bit about where it is that you want to be as a person, but also taking the time to do 1 hour of something creative a day. And the idea is that you will probably find so much inspiration in creative arts, whether it's movement or visuals or music or, you know, even going to a museum. You'll probably find so much inspiration that you will be able to implement into your business that will make it thrive in ways that you can't even fathom. So I think that would be my advice to entrepreneurs, yeah. Because I've seen also how it works for me too.
So good. Awesome. Well, let's move into the rapid fire round. And for those that are tuning in, we've got a really amazing giveaway for those that have been enjoying this artist conversation, the entrepreneur conversation, the co-working, working remotely. Stay tuned in just a few moments for more information about that. But Gabrielle, series of five questions. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. Question number one. Fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
That I'm a witch.
Fun. I could go in longer. Okay, question number two. What is one thing that you often think about at night before you go to bed?
Something that I'm really grateful for.
Nice. Next question. What is one practice that you do regularly that you feel sets you up for success?
Meditation and life coaching.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Next question. If you could turn back the time to your 20-year-old self and give her a piece of advice, what would you say to her?
It all happens for a reason.
So good. Last question. What does living the unconventional life mean to you?
Thriving.
Awesome. Gabrielle Bonneville, everyone. Gabrielle, tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of our listeners.
So, yeah, we've been a little bit underground in terms of marketing ourselves for the past few years. So, you may not know a little bit about what we do, but what we want to give away is 3 days at the artist residency of your choice. But more specifically, if you'd like to come to Nicaragua and experience island life, then for sure you can come, and that's what we're going to be offering to one of the listeners of Unconventional Life to come and see it.
So awesome. And we were just talking, and it is off an island near Granada in Nicaragua, which sounds fabulous. And, you know, I've been in Nicaragua. I was there a few weeks ago. We're heading back for our Nicaragua Made event, November 30th. And I might even pop over there while I'm in town to check it out. But those that are tuning in, you can head over to unconventionallifeshow.com to get all the details. And also on Instagram, for those that are tuning in, I finally, due to peer pressure, launched my Instagram 2 weeks ago at Jules Schroeder Life. And it's been growing, and it's been really fun to post a lot of pictures of my own life. But we're also doing our contest for the giveaway on Instagram. So you can head over to at Jules Schroeder Life to get the details on how to win those awesome 3 days, which is super fabulous. And for those that want to learn more about what you're doing, the Momentum Collective, you know, check out all the details and stay in the conversation. What's the best way to get in touch?
Online, on Instagram, Momentum Collective, our website. The idea is, though, a lot of people put in Momentum with a U. It's Momentum with an O. And Instagram, Facebook, and our website. And we're always there to respond to any questions or applications if interested.
Awesome. So good. Well, Gabrielle, thanks for tuning in with us today. It was just such a fun episode to jam circus arts and creativity. And I know I personally got a lot out of it. And Unconventional Life family, thank you so much for tuning in as well. We'll have more awesome content coming at you guys soon.
Thank you, Jules.
Bye.